This week, there is a public hearing in front of the Environment Committee to cover more than a dozen pieces of legislation. I saw included on that list is Senate Bill 457, an act concerning the state's bottle bill. But apparently, that is not the same bill as what was included in that massive omnibus bill 2 weeks ago. Joining us now to differentiate the two and explain what's being talked about in front of the Environment Committee is Representative Joe Gresko from Stratford, the former House Environment Committee chair.
Yes, the bottle bill that we addressed last week was an emergency certified bill, but it was separate from the bigger omnibus bill. This was a kind of a standalone ESCERT bill that we did after the big one.
Okay. So what is the difference? So what is the one that's being talked about this week?
The one that's going this week is just going to try to assist and streamline the existing bottle bill procedure and process. It's very complicated. You wouldn't think, you know, turning a bottle in or a can in would turn into a complicated process, but it is. And the fact that we've gone to a dime has resulted in, well, you know, really an outstanding success. You have to say that many, many old items are being returned and made into new items. And is making the manufacturers of these items responsible for their end of life. That's the great news. The not so great news is that it's all being done in Connecticut, and we're taking in items from out of state, and it's putting our distributors in a bad spot and having to redeem all of those items. So the bill on Friday would say, you know, hey, let's try specific labeling on Connecticut products. That's been tried before in Michigan when they went to a dime, but it was struck down by the courts. So maybe we can, you know, reword it and it won't be so cumbersome. We're also going to try to streamline the process for items getting picked up by those who redemption centers and grocery stores. And we're also going to be possibly shifting the whole bottle bill process into a product stewardship model, similar to the way we take back electronic items and the way that we take back now mattresses and paint and gas cylinders, and see if that route might give us a better outcome.
Okay, so there's a lot to break down in there, Representative Gresko, and I so appreciate having you on, because honestly, when we learned about the original bottle bill that passed last month, I honestly wanted to have somebody on to talk about this, because that's really where everything started, which then turned into a massive bill. But there was actually very strong bipartisan support tackling the bottle redemption center issue in Connecticut. So let's go back. You said that Connecticut changed from 5 cents to 10 cents, and all of a sudden we realized, oh, man, we got a real problem here. Talk about that a little bit. I mean, just for people who may not be familiar, some of our listeners actually have seen in real time, because they live in areas where they've seen the abuse happen with these bottle redemption areas. But, you know, tell us from your perspective, what really, you know, is really the reason this was done in emergency certification format, was because this was the real emergency. Out of everything that was discussed in that omnibus bill, this was actually the real emergency, because Connecticut was losing a ton of money. I mean, talk a little bit about that.
So, yes, I would agree. It was classified as an emergency because the distributors were over redeeming. So here's the example. Melissa buys a can of soda in New York. She pays a nickel to New York, and then she brings it to Connecticut and gets a dime back from that, because there's no marker on the can delineating it from New York or Connecticut. So then New York ends up keeping that nickel. Times that by hundreds of thousands of transactions a day, and New York's making money on this, and we are losing money. So that's part of the reason why it was an emergency. Plus, the distributors were losing money, and we don't want to get sued. Plus, you know, we don't want to affect a Connecticut company. So, but then taking a step back to the original switch to 10 cents, you know, there was also a switch to more items. When we went to a dime, we also went to iced teas and sports drinks and coffee drinks. And a lot more is now redeemable in an effort to be responsible for the end of life of these products and to try to cut down on the amount of litter.
The other thing I heard, and I don't know if this is true, Representative Gresko, but my understanding from some WICC listeners is that if there was a redemption station and it was owned, say the landlord is actually somebody that's from New York. So the redemption station, let's say, closes at 5 o'clock, 5 p.m. Connecticut residents can go. And then up until 5 o'clock, you can go and redeem, you know, your, you know, money for your cans, whatever. But then after 5 o'clock in the middle of the night, if there was somebody who, you know, owns that redemption center that's from the state of New York and they decide they want to come over and they want to redeem in the hours of whatever they want without really any oversight, that was also happening. Is there any truth to that?
I can't say one way or the other. I know that I could tell you that even at the end of last session, we put some additional parameters on the redemption process, meaning that, hey, Melissa, you can't come in and redeem more than 5,000 items a day. Hey, Melissa, I need to see your Connecticut ID. Hey, Melissa, what kind of vehicle are you driving? Is that U-Haul from Connecticut or is it from New Jersey? So all these things are being looked at and made sure that they're from Connecticut by the redemption centers in an effort to try to stop the illegal fraud from out of state. But, it's a very attractive.
Well, it's an easy way to make a quick buck.
To come here.
Yeah.
Well,
sure.
Right. It is. I'm not saying that there isn't an issue. We just have to drill down and try to stop that from happening.
So we're continuing the conversation with State Representative Joe Gresko talking about the bottle bill product stewardship model. I want to understand this better. So you were saying, you know, we've already started doing this with things like mattresses and other, you know, we're going to eventually do it with tires. For people who don't know, what is that process? What's happening with these returns?
So for items that are very hard to handle for municipalities, they're either large, bulky, or even hazardous waste. Created what's called an EPR, Extended Product Responsibility Bill, that requires the industry itself to come up with a plan to handle the end of life for that particular product. So, for example, when you get a new mattress, there is a fee, an eco fee on there that's probably around $7. And they come and take your mattress from you and they bring it to a facility here in the state of Connecticut. And it's dismantled and the metal is recycled. The wood is chipped for chipped and the fabric is used for like the backs of carpets. But the industry handles that itself.
Got
and
it.
You could say that for cylinders. We just did cylinders. So now those 1 pound Coleman camp cylinders that no one would take anymore. Now you can drop them off at one of the state parks that are participating. The program is slowly expanding, but and they'll take it and they'll make sure they're empty and they'll either repurpose them or recycle them. So, but the industry is the one that's handling that. The bottle bill, the state has always had its hands in it, whether through a sheets money, whether through making it a dime or a nickel, whether it's identifying products. So the idea is, well, hey, maybe if we pivot to a EPR model, they might do a better job than we did.
So, and of course, this is, you know, maybe this feels trivial, but would that mean if we went to more of that model, people are then, it's not like they're going to make money back, right? That's kind of the downside, right? Because when you go to the bottle returns, you get money back for the things you're returning. But much like if you were to return your mattress or you were to return another, you don't get money back for those when you're returning them. Right.
Correct. That's some of the issues that would have to be explored by the group that got together to brainstorm this idea. I when we were changing the bottle bill around, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, it was said to me more than once by the industry, "Let us do it, and you know, we'll figure it out ourselves and going forward. Just give us, you know, what you want to have accomplished." So, I don't think you do away with any type of financial incentive if you want the product redeemed and recycled. At this point, people have been getting money for it for so long that, you know, I'm not going to recycle it. I'm not going to bring it to if I'm not getting money for it. So that's more reality than anything.
Hmm. I mean, I've always wondered, where does the money come from that people get money back for their bottles?
So when you buy your product at a grocery store or wherever, the dime is added right there. So you're paying an extra price for that when you buy it. And then the state says, hey, a place where Melissa got her product, you owe me a dime for every one of those products. And then so then it goes to the state. And then when Melissa brings it to the redemption center and says, I want my nickel back, and gets her nickel back, the redemption center turns around and says to the state, hey, I redeemed that nickel you took. Now you owe me. So and that's how the circle is closed.
Got it. So would if we went to the product stewardship model, would that extra 10 cents on my cans whenever I buy them from the store, would that go away or would that still stay?
The state would be out of the equation. This would be something that would be put together and policed by the industry itself, the beverage industry themselves, and the state would be you know, not in quote unquote involved. Much like you know, when you bring an old stereo or electronic equipment to your transfer station, instead of throwing it in the municipal solid waste stream, you bring it to the bin that is electronic waste. Well, the industry polices itself and handles all of the retrieval and recycling and the like, and all of the state's function is to host the bin, and that's it. So maybe we go down that road for bottles.
Interesting. And I truly mean that. I never thought I'd be so fascinated by bottles, but I really am. I appreciate you coming on to really break it all down for us, and I look forward to chatting again in the future.
Likewise. Much appreciated.
All right. That's State Representative Joe Gresko of Stratford here on WICC.